T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Contreras with you for the next 3 hours. And boy, do we have a bang-up show today, along with a lot of great phone calls. We got three dynamic guests coming up at the bottom of the hour. The legendary coach of the University of Oklahoma, Bob Stoops, going to join me on the program. An autobiography that just came out yesterday. No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach. He co-authored with the great Gene Wojciechowski. And we'll have Coach Stoops coming up at the bottom of the hour. In the 1 o'clock hour, Bob Scanlon, analyst for Fox Sports San Diego, will stop by. We'll talk a little Padre baseball. Of course, we got Bench the Coach coming up today at 1:50 and see if you can take me down. You know, we talk about that every day. I mean, the listeners are getting better and better and better on trivia. And yesterday, I got beat. I got my two answers right, but the listener got the first three we asked him, and he won a $40 gift card to the Broken Yoke. So if you want to be a part of Bench the Coach, be ready at 1:50. We'll give you the phone number. You call in. You get into the rotation and see if you can take me down. And then at 2:35, as the Lake Elsinore Storm took game one last night against the Visalia Rawhide in the California League Championship. Sean McCall, longtime play-by-play announcer of the Storm, going to join us on the program today. Of course, we'll get to the Hang a Star play of the day and all the stuff we normally have, but I want to get the phone numbers out to you. We got so much to talk about today, and again, I won't be on tomorrow. We've got an off day with Padre baseball. They got an early ball game tomorrow, but I'll be back in Friday. Of course, tomorrow night, I do have the high school show with Braden Soprano. We'll be on with the high school football show tomorrow night from 9 to 11, and also remind you, Friday night, we will be at Helix High School. We got a marvelous ball game on our radio.com app. It'll be Cathedral Catholic, ninth ranked in the country right now, taking on a very good Helix Highlander football team. Braden and I will have the call for that game at 7 o'clock. Again, download that radio.com app. I want to get phone numbers out. I would imagine after last night's game, boy, that was a real interesting baseball game last night, a long, lengthy baseball game, I might add. Padres tried to give it up last night after they had a 6-2 lead. Eventually, they had an 8-5 lead, and eventually, they won in a walk-off walk. Steve Cishek couldn't hit the broadside of a barn there, and I'll tell you, C.B. Buckner behind the plate last night once again really struggled, but Cishek wasn't even close when he walked Margot on a 3-0 pitch. The Padres won it 9-8. Tie up the series right now, one game apiece. Tonight at 7:10, tomorrow afternoon, and then the Padres will be off to take on the Colorado Rockies. But our phone number, love to hear from you today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. A little bit later on in the program, we'll get into the civil lawsuit regarding Antonio Brown and a college friend that became his trainer. She's suing him for three separate occasions of sexual assault back in 2017 and 2018. There's talk about he could be going on the commissioner's exempt list. We'll hear from Drew Rosenhaus. We'll hear from Bill Belichick over the next couple of hours on the program. Only thing I'm going to say right now about this is this is the last thing that Bill Belichick wants to deal with. This is the last thing he wants to deal with. And you know what? I believe the Patriots, and Adam and I were talking about this morning, I believe the Patriots did not know about this, because yesterday they traded Demaryius Thomas to the New York Jets. If they'd have known about this yesterday, they'd have probably hung on to Demaryius Thomas. So this is going to be very, very interesting. A little bit later on, I will tell you how I would handle this situation if I was Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. But I want to get to the Padres. And I just don't want to talk about the ball game last night. And we'll get into Bolaños' struggles last night. Andrés Muñoz got welcomed to the big leagues. That 100-mile-an-hour fastball is pretty good if you locate it, but if you throw it right down to the waist of guys like Chris Bryant and Jason Hayward, they're going to hurt you, and they hurt him bad last night in his eighth inning of work. But first of all, I want to get to Hunter Renfroe, because Hunter Renfroe, since the All-Star break, check out these numbers. Well, since July 6th, he's hit four homers. He's hit four homers since July 6th, and since the All-Star break, check this out. He's hitting 169 with a 260 on-base percentage and a 291 slugging percentage. And we're sitting here day after day as a talk show host, as a fan of the Padres, going, what's going on with Hunter Renfroe? Well, we're going to hear from Andy Green right now. This is what's going on with Hunter Renfroe.
Hunter's battled through a lot this second half. A lot of it we've kept close to the vest. Some probably been a number of days where Hunter's been unavailable, but we've managed not to talk about it. He's been dealing most recently with some ankle stuff. His right push-off ankle, if you look back at his last at-bat, he had some wince in the middle of the at-bat. He took a swing. It's just bothering him to the point where he's not capable of hitting, not capable of being himself, and he's played through more than probably anybody in baseball, and it's fairly obvious kind of the numbers and production have suffered because of that. I had an unbelievable year to start this season, and as he's dealt with a few things here in the last month and a half, he just hasn't been able to get going. And so at this point in time, probably smartest for us to just pull him back, pull him out of the mix for a little bit, see if he can recover. This might be, probably would have been, an IL situation had it been right a little earlier for Hunter. Just a day-to-day type thing right now, and we stuck him on deck a couple days ago to see if we could intimidate somebody that he wasn't even going to hit. So at this point in time, it's fairly obvious when he's not starting against a left-handed pitcher that he's got something going on.
All right, Andy explained it, but the thing that I don't understand, I mean, his number since the All-Star break, 169, and he struck out a high percentage of the time. I mean, a high percentage of the time. And this guy had an unbelievable first half. I mean, there for a while, you thought, hey, you know what? Maybe the Padres will get a second All-Star this year other than just Kirby Yates. And it would have been probably Hunter Renfroe. But we know how good the outfield is. And by the way, how about Christian Yelich breaking his kneecap? How painful is that? But anyways, regarding Hunter Renfroe, I understand if he's on the active roster in July and August. We're in September right now. We're in September, and they're saying that he's been dealing with things. While he's on the active roster, you don't want your opponent to know that, you know, he's not available, because that may dictate what they do coming out of that bullpen. And even Andy said they had him on deck the other night as kind of a decoy and trying to, you know, fool somebody. But if the guy's struggling that bad and he's got an ankle injury, a right ankle injury on, you know, the back leg, he's really driving to drive the ball out of the ballpark. Because if you look at the Padre hitters, and I'm sure their philosophy is talking to some of the scouts that have watched the Padre minor league ball clubs, they really want guys to use that back leg. They really load heavy on that back leg and get tremendous power coming out of that backside with that right leg and hip area. And the guy's been hurt. So I understand while he was on the active roster, you didn't want to talk about injuries. He's got an ankle. He's had, I think, an arm problem, maybe a couple of other things. Who knows? But put him on the IL. Put him on the IL. I mean, this is not July or August. And we're looking at his numbers since July. Now the rosters expand. I mean, you can have him on there and you play him, you don't play him. Nobody knows what's going on in the month of September. The other thing that I got to bring up. Now, Urias got three hits last night. And that's great. He's up to 208. All right. We'll get an applause on that. He's over 200. Really excited about that right now. And there it is. We got him over 200. But here's the deal. And I learned this a long time ago from Major League Scouts and guys like Kevin Towers, where we'd sit around after ball games And they would say, you can't get excited, too excited in the month of September because you never know who you're going against pitching-wise. There'll be guys that come up and they have a great September, but they can fool you. It can be a lot of eyewash because they're going against guys they faced in the minor leagues. They're not going against a lot of guys that are big league pitchers. But nonetheless, hey, Urias is swinging the bat better. I mentioned it a week ago. He looks a lot better at the plate. He's doing a better job at shortstop right now. And the Padres got, believe me, a much-needed win last night. But, you know, this Hunter Renfro thing's kind of weird. Kind of weird. A lot of secrecy around this injury, and there really didn't need to be. But Andy explained it last night. But, again, if he's on the active roster, you're not going to say a whole lot. And he's still on the active roster. It doesn't matter if he's on the active roster now because, you know, it's expanded. So it's not like you have to make a roster move. But, man, this guy's had a rough couple of months stat-wise and injury-wise, apparently, from what the Padres are telling us. Now, I want to get back to Ronald Bolaños last night. We'll get to him, and we got a lot of other things to get to today. But I want to get those phone numbers out to you again, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. And, you know, we're sitting here on a Wednesday. We got an NFL game tomorrow night. We're not that far away from college football. San Diego State going to be at New Mexico State. We visited with Kirk Kenny yesterday. Aztecs cannot have a letdown against New Mexico State. I mean, as big a win as that UCLA win was last Saturday, they've got to go down to Las Cruces. They got to take care of business. They got to try to get out of that game healthy and get home for their conference opener against Utah State on September 21st. And SC, they're going to Provo this week. Did you see the story that the president of USC called Clay Helton, as did the interim athletic director Dave Roberts? And you know, they gave him the, hey, coach, you're doing a great job. You know, we're behind you. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in Coach's Corner. Coach John Quintero, just getting warmed up on a Wednesday. Glad you could join me. And reminder, coming up bottom of the hour, longtime head coach at Oklahoma, now the general manager and the head coach of the Dallas Renegades of the XFL, Bob Stoops, going to join me on the talk show at 12:35. Coach John Quintero coming back with more Padres and your phone calls next right here on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
12:19 on Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week, and thank you very much for tuning in daily at 12 to 3 again off tomorrow. We got Padre Baseball, the fourth and final game against the Cubbies out there at Petco Park, and then the ball club will move on for a weekend series against the Colorado Rockies. Then they move into Milwaukee early next week before heading back to Petco Park. Chargers. This guy can't stay healthy, and I hate to laugh, but, man, the Chargers are really dealing with it right now. I mean, Melvin Gordon nowhere to be found. Derwin James out for who knows how long. Russell Okung, that serious illness that he's dealing with. No idea when he's going to come back. Mike Williams got hurt in the first ball game, and now Hunter Henry, the tight end, who missed all but the last game of last year, suffered a tibia plateau fracture in his left knee, so he's going to be out. No timetable for him to return, so the Chargers already getting hit by the injury bug. We're going to get out to your phone calls again. Bob Stoops going to join me right about 12:35 today. Bob Scanlon at 105. We'll talk about the Lake Elsinore Storm. They're trying to win a California League championship. They're up one game to none against Visalia. They'll play again tonight at the Diamond in Lake Elsinore. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I want to get back to the Padres a little bit here, and then we'll have Coach Stoops coming up after the bottom of the hour. But I want to go to the young 23-year-old right-hander, Ronald Bolaños. Last night, you know, his numbers were awful. His numbers were awful. Five innings, five hits, five runs, all earned, four walks, five strikeouts. He was all over the roadmap last night. It's his second major league start. He was trying to get his first major league win last night. Andy hung with him. Andy hung with him, was trying to get it for him. But the guy just couldn't get it done last night and had to get him out of the ball game. All over the place, change in speeds. But there's something about this kid I like. There's something that I like about him. Number one, he doesn't look frayed out on the mound. I see a lot of these young guys come up from the minor leagues, and they're afraid to pitch. They're afraid. They don't trust their stuff. As my buddy Randy Jones would always remind me, you got to trust your stuff. And right now, he's not trusting his stuff. He's trying to miss bats rather than just flat-out pitch. So Ronald Bolaños, last night, numbers not good. But here's what Andy Green had to say about the young right-hander's second major league opportunity.
When he lets it go, it's good. I think he got into a little bit of time there. He was trying to guide the heater and find the zone with it by guiding it rather than just trusting how good he is and how athletic he is. And I think that's where the command started to waver. Thought the curveball was really good. You can tip your cap, like I said, to Chris Bryan on that one swing. He got a lot of swing and misses with that pitch. It has depth to it. He's just going to have to trust the heater. And for me, there's probably quite a few right now non-competitive pitches in the mix, just missing by such a margin they're not interested at all. As he grows and limits those, he's going to be a much more effective pitcher.
And like I said, he was all over the yard last night. Well, that was a crazy game last night. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe Chris Bryant. By the way, it was USD night last night. And Rich Hill, who I saw, the head baseball coach, he was here at the station last week. I talked with Rich and known him since he first came. I think I was the first guy to ever interview him. I was actually doing a basketball TV game on old Channel 4, and they said, hey, you want to interview the baseball coach, the new baseball coach? Yeah. So I've known Rich Hill since he's been here, and I can't believe it's been well over 20 years now, and he's done such an incredible job with that program. But it was USD night last night. Chris Bryant didn't play Monday night, and then last night, you know, he hit two long home runs in the ball game and drove in four runs last night. Boy, he's a great player, Chris Bryant. Jason Hayward had a big night, a couple of home runs last night. It was nice to see Michelle Baez pick up the win. He came in through a really nice 10th inning. Kirby Yates did a good job. Boy, Kirby Yates looked great last night, by the way. He hit Rizzo, but he struck out the side. Aside from Rizzo, he struck out the side. And I don't know if you saw when he hit Rizzo, that ball ricocheted and hit Austin Hedges, where you don't want to get hit if you're a male. Okay, and he, I think with all anybody that's ever caught or played sports and had that happen, you could feel for him. But Austin Hedges hung in there last night. You know, I look at the Padres last night, and Nick Martini doing a good job. Another hit last night. And by the way, remember that replay early in the ball game? Do you remember the replay where they called Jason Hayward out at the plate, and then the Cubs wanted it replayed, and they called him safe? And the Padres had to come back on the field. That was the Cubs' third run. You know what? I'm calling BS on that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I guarantee you, if the shoe was on the other foot and the Cubs guy was safe and they ruled, they called him out, okay? They called him out. I guarantee you, if the shoe would have been on the other foot, the other team had challenged that, and the Cubs were on defense, They would have upheld the call. I just think sometimes, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you fans out there watch more baseball than I do and watch all these replays and pay more attention to it, but it seems like to me these big market ball clubs sure get a lot of the favorable calls. Am I dreaming on that? But last night, you know what? He may have been safe. I'm not going to say that he wasn't safe, but I guarantee if the shoe would have been on the other foot, I think the Cubs would have got the call, and the Cubs ended up getting the call last night. And I'm calling BS on that one. And by the way, like I said earlier, C.B. Buckner, he's got to be one of the worst umpires in baseball. Nice guy, always friendly, it seems like. But, man, balls and strikes, and even on the base, he's not very good. You know, I'll tell you what, right from day one this year, and I'm a guy that loves officials. And by the way, this morning I got invited by the San Diego basketball officials, the North County basketball officials, to be their keynote speaker at their clinic on Saturday morning, October 26th. I'm going to talk to 300 basketball officials, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm a big officials guy because if you don't have officials here in San Diego, you don't play football games, volleyball matches, baseball games, so on and so forth. And there are a lot of good officials from San Diego that have gone on to bigger and better things in the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball. I mean, we have a lot of officials that started out here in San Diego that are doing the big boys. And I'm a big officials guy. I got great respect for them. They're human. They're going to make bad calls here and there. But I got to tell you, right from day one this year, Major League Baseball has had a rough year with the umpires. And I'm not talking about the replays. I'm talking about balls and strikes, and that's why we're talking about maybe having, you know, computer-like umpires, which I think will be the worst thing possible. The great thing about baseball and about sports, there's a human element, and you continue to take an imperfect game and try to make it perfect. And now you've gone to the officials that are calling the ball games day in and day out. And I got a problem with that. And I also think it makes the officials a little bit of gun shy, but I go off on a tangent there. I want to get back to the Padres and talk a little bit about the come from behind win last night. You know, here's a team that right now with the win last night is 10 games under 500. It had been very easy last night after they blew the 6-2 lead, the 8-5 lead, and things were really going crazy there in the eighth inning with those two home runs off Andrés Muñoz. He ended up giving up three runs. But the Padres showed something I hadn't seen here in the last few weeks, a little fire. They were into it. You look at them in the dugout, they were fired up. And here's Andy Green on last night's comeback win.
It was a good fight. It takes that to be the team that's fighting for a playoff spot, and they did a lot to, you know, earn their way back into that game. They had some big swings of bat on some good pitches, frankly. The Bolaños homer he gave up to Chris Bryant's a similar curveball to what he's punched him out with earlier in the day, and he gets down there and golfs it out. It's not a bad pitch. Anytime Muñoz has been in the zone all year long, like there hasn't been damage like that. Those aren't easy fastballs to turn around, and you got to give them credit. They fought their way back into the game. Then you got to give our guys credit because they didn't fold and continued to fight. And we got some really good pitching performances from a number of guys, and it's a good win.
It was a very nice win, and hopefully the Padres tonight with Chris Paddock on the mound going against the veteran left-hander, a local kid, Cole Hamels, Padres will have a good showing tonight and get a game tonight and then go for a 3 out of 4 tomorrow against the Chicago Cubs. I want to duck in this real quick comment regarding Manny Margot because Margot's been playing a lot better baseball, and again, his average maybe not indicative of how well he's played, hitting only .240, but here's Andy talking about Manuel Margot.
He's done some really nice things. I mean, he's been a great defender all year long from the beginning. His base running's taken exponential leaps forward from kind of what we saw last year all the way through this year. He competes in the batter's box. He shrunk his strike zone down. He takes walks now better than he ever has before. And, you know, he can be a force against left-handed pitching. I mean, the triple he hit off the wall obviously wasn't against a lefty today, but that's kind of what he's done for us all year against lefties. He really hit them hard. And, it's a big swing he had, and that triple was big for us in that inning. Obviously, the walk-off walk is nice.
And last night, Margot, 2-for-5, a walk, and the RBI triple, and doing a nice job. When we come back, we're going to visit with the legendary head football coach of Oklahoma. Got a new book out, Bob Stoops. We'll meet Coach Stoops next with Coach John Quintero right here on 97.3 The Fan. .12:35, Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock today, and we're going to get out to your phone calls, but it's a great privilege and honor to have this gentleman on. I'm still in shock that he retired from the University of Oklahoma a couple of seasons ago, but Bob Stoops, just written an autobiography, No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach, co-authored by the great Gene Wojciechowski, and Coach Bob Stoops joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Coach, welcome, and great to have you.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I was a big fan of yours at Oklahoma, and I'm still a little bit shocked that you shocked everyone when you announced your retirement. Could you talk a little bit about what went into that?
Well, just as I said at the time, you know, there was absolutely nothing negative. It was just that I had felt that I had run my race, run my course, done what I was going to do at Oklahoma. And I felt, you know, I wanted more of my own time, my own space. I knew I had the right successor. Lincoln Riley was a guy that could keep it, you know, I care about the program deeply, so I would never wanted to step out and have it not be in great position to keep moving forward. And then when I knew he was the right guy, all of it, I just didn't want to miss the right time. And so I knew I had a older, mature team that would be able to handle it. So all of it just sort of pieced together.
Hey, Coach, why was Lincoln Riley the guy? I mean, you've been around football for a long time. You had some tremendous mentors, including your dad coming up through the ranks. How did you know Lincoln Riley was the right guy to hand the program off to?
Well, just watching him through 2 years working with him, his poise, his, you know, his toughness and poise, is the way he relates with the players. You know, he's incredibly bright, smart, and you see that offensively all the time, but he is as well as a head coach and thinking through situations. So, yeah, it was very obvious to me, you know, within the first year that, hey, this guy's, you know, this guy be the head coach, you know, here or anywhere else, you know, shortly. And, you know, as things worked into that, after the end of that second year, I got to thinking, you know what, this may be the right time for me.
We're visiting with Coach Bob Stoops, a new book out, No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach, co-authored by Gene Wojciechowski. Let's talk a little bit about one of your quarterbacks there, Baker Mayfield. He's obviously made a name for himself, you know, winning the Heisman Trophy, going on in the National Football League. What kind of guy was he to coach on a daily basis?
An absolute joy. He's a prince of a young man, a great character guy. Players in the locker room love him. You know, he's just a natural leader and an incredible competitor. And so, you know, you'd take 100 of him every day if you could get him.
Seemed like you guys had quarterbacks lining up after he goes out the door. And, of course, you weren't there when he won the Heisman Trophy last year. But Kyler Murray, and he came in right behind Baker and just put up unbelievable numbers in that offense.
He did, and fortunately, I was with Kyler for a year when we brought him in, and knew all along he's got an exceptional arm, you know, the great quickness, and you know, incredibly bright as well. So anyhow, yeah, dude, we've been fortunate to have some really great players, and I'm excited to see what Jalen Hurts is doing already, you know, in our offense. So it's been. We've had a lot of good fortune with quarterbacks.
This is your third year out, and I'm sure maybe you're a little bit more comfortable, but that first year on Saturday afternoons, was it pretty tough?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I explained it to somebody. I said, the first year was really awful. The second year was just awful. But I was aware it was going to be. You don't just do this your whole life, and, you know, the intensity of it all, the competitiveness of it all, the camaraderie of the, you know, the players and coaches, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's all, you know, it's not there. You know how difficult and strange that's going to be.
Coach Bob Stoops joining me on 97.3 The Fan. Why now? Tell us a little bit about the book and why now.
Well, I never would take the time when I was coaching to do anything but try and win and be successful at Oklahoma. And then after a year or so out, I got to thinking, I get asked a lot, even through the years coming up, any coaches, clinics, or places I'm at, even other people out on the street, how did this path happen for me? How did you become the head coach, and how did it all go? And did I always want to do this? And then I just thought, I'm going to lay it all out, as well as people ask all the time, how did you get, you know, turn Oklahoma around so fast? You know, going undefeated in our second year, you know, what were your principles and characteristics doing that, as well as what were those that kept you successful so consistently, you know, for 20 years, you know, the last 20 years. So anyhow, there, I just thought that, you know, when people ask you that, you can't give it to them in a 10-minute conversation. So it's, you know, here it is. And I thought, you know, being out a year that, you know, thing, I might as well put it out there.
What are your thoughts, Coach? I mean, you were a part of it. What are your thoughts on the college football playoffs right now? Is four too few? Is it right, or do they need to expand it?
In my opinion, it's just right for a couple of reasons. The two main reasons in my mind, first of all, four, you know, that's a considerable number. Now, if you go to more, to eight, now you might as well do away with conference championship games. They don't really matter anymore. And also, I don't believe the college student, meaning the players, their schedule allows for more. Look at Clemson, already played 15 games last year. That's almost an NFL 16-game schedule. These guys, whether people think it or not, really do well in school, go to school, go to all kind of tutoring and, you know, and do a lot of hard work academically. And then so you'd be playing all those games right in the middle of finals for a lot of schools. So I just don't think the wearing, you know, the extra games for those players, and a lot of those players are already on their way to the draft, whether they're juniors or seniors. Now you're going to have them play a few more games. I just don't think overall the calendar works for all those reasons.
Coach Bob,
more games.
Coach Bob Stoops joining us on 97.3 The Fan. This question comes up all the time, and of course here in California they just voted. They want athletes to be able to do endorsements and hire agents, and they're going to fight down the road with the NCAA. Where do you stand on players, aside from getting their full-ride scholarship, of players getting paid?
Yeah, we're doing a better job, through all these schools, of paying for cost of attendance, which means, depending on how far away from home you are, they're getting extra money in their monthly checks or weekly checks for travel, for home on holidays and things like that,
mm-hmm.
for weekend money. For, whatever it may be, they are getting extra money, and that's a positive. Whether they need to get a little bit more, I get it. I'm good with that. But at a certain point, if you think you're just going to pay football players because they make most of the money and or basketball, Title IX laws don't allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to pay everybody, and how many schools can realistically do that? Maybe 10, 15. So I don't know. There's a lot of that goes into it. And then the individual athletes, then do they have agents? And I don't know. Sometimes I think, too, be careful what you wish for. Huh. You may just ruin a good thing. But I don't know. I'd like that they're exploring it. But I know there's a whole bunch of branches to it that you probably aren't anticipating just yet, Just like when they opened up the senior transfers, and look at where this is, it's all branching out to now.
We're visiting with Bob Stoops for another minute or so here on 97.3 The Fan. You're the head coach and general manager of the Dallas Renegades of the XFL. Tell us about that and how you're going about putting your ball club together.
Yeah, we'll have a draft sometime, there in October, mid-October or so. And there may be another supplemental draft after that. We'll start practice sometime in December. And then our season will start right after the Super Bowl, February, March, and April, 10-game schedule. We'll be right there at the Texas Rangers Stadium in Dallas right there. So we got great leadership. Our commissioner is Oliver Luck. He's got great experience. And, of course, owner Vince McMahon. And then, I'm excited about it, working with older players that have played football, a lot of football before. I think it's going to be really exciting and fun to watch.
You got your staff in place already?
I do. I've already got my staff in order, and, looking forward to it.
Hey, Coach, before I let you go, how can everyone get this new autobiography that just came out yesterday?
I guess you just go on Google and there's a lot of different, I'm sure there's a lot of different ways to order it.
Okay, good. I'll get that out to everyone. But hey, I really appreciate it. Look forward to doing this again, and best of luck. And always enjoyed watching you walk those sidelines at Oklahoma.
And I guess there's audio versions that I recorded as well that you can download.
Okay, sounds great, Coach. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bob Stoops, the longtime head coach, University of Oklahoma. Again, his autobiography, No Excuses, The Making of a Head Coach, co-authored by Gene Wojciechowski from ESPN. And again, you can go to Amazon and go online. No Excuses, The Making of a head coach. You know, I was looking, and I was always a Bob Stoops fan. I mean, you know, and I wanted to go some different directions, but I wanted to stay current. But, you know, his dad was a high school football coach, and he died of a heart attack at like 54 years of age. And, you know, he's got the brothers that have all coached, and, you know, he played for Hayden Fry, Coach Stoops did, at the University of Iowa, where he's a four-year starter. And, you know, this guy's had some big jobs aside from Oklahoma as a defensive coordinator for Steve Spurrier down there at Florida. But, you know, looking at his record last night, I mean, it's amazing. The only blemish really on his record as far as wins and losses, he was only 9-9 in bowl games. But his record at Oklahoma in 18 seasons was 190-48. 190-48, and he's not playing chopped liver. But the record in conference play was like off the chart, 121-29. 121-29. He, of course, won a national championship in 2000 when they won a perfect 13-0. He won 10 Big 12 championships. He was six-time the Big 12 Coach of the Year and won numerous National Coach of the Year awards. And, I mean, there were so many different directions I could have gone with him today. A great interview. I was happy with the interview. But, you know, we could have really gone and done a whole, we could have done his book on the air, because there's so many different facets of Bob Stoops' life, from growing up as a little boy with a mom and dad that, you know, had these boys, and his dad was a high school football coach and a great mentor, and all these guys are still coaching. I mean, they're all coaching, and now Bob Stoops is jumping back into the XFL. Want to get your thoughts on that interview with Bob Stoops. You want to talk a little Padre baseball today? We got Bob Scanlon coming up at 105. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I want to remind everyone, you can download the radio.com app so you can catch all of our Friday night high school football broadcasts, no matter where you are at on Friday night. And this is for a grandma and grandpa that are living in Iowa or Wisconsin. Hey, they can download the radio.com app. You can watch the game at your favorite high school, and then listen to our broadcast to catch the action from our game and our scoreboard updates from around the county on radio.com. I mentioned yesterday, I had several people tell me Saturday, when I was at my granddaughter's soccer game, they go, "Hey, Coach, we were at the so-and-so game last night." I think it was La Costa San Clemente game. And they go, "We were listening to you and Braden broadcast out there at San Marcos." That's cool. And we had a bunch of updates last week. So if you're really into high school football, download it to radio.com. And, of course, tomorrow night, Braden and I will be on with our high school football show from 9 to 11. And we'll have Coach Sean Doyle tomorrow night from Cathedral. We'll have Coach Robbie Owens from Helix, and we'll have a few others on the program tomorrow night, and we'll break down all the big matchups this Friday night in high school football. But right now, let's get to Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantara breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports
right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan.
Really enjoyed that interview, Coach.
Oh, that was great. You know, Adam, I've been doing this a long time, and I think people, when they do something for a long time, they're kind of numb to this guest. I get fired up about this stuff.
No doubt. Big game, Bob.
Number one.
So, Coach, it actually happened. Team USA lost to France 89-79 in the FIBA World Cup earlier today, ousting them from the tournament. It's the first time the U.S. has failed to win gold at a major international tournament since the 2006 World Championships. Considering the lack of star power on this team, do you consider not winning gold a failure?
No, I will tell you, 20 or 30 years ago, I'd be really, really upset about this. But like I say to people all the time, there are so many great basketball players. I mean great basketball players in the world. Not surprised. Rudy Gobert is on that team. That took down the U.S. today. He's a great player. He's been NBA Defensive Player of the Year. But, hey, let's face it. It's not the best roster possible. A lot of guys went home. But nonetheless, give France their due. The other thing I might already throw out there, they've already qualified for the Olympics. So, you know, no matter what happened, they were still going to be participating.
Number two.
In the wake of the abrupt resignation of USC AD Lynn Swan, new school president Carol Folt and interim AD Dave Roberts have offered embattled head coach Clay Helton a vote of confidence as the team is off to a 2-0 start to the season. most times, a vote of confidence is the beginning of the end for a coach. What percent chance do you give Clay Helton of being the Trojans' head coach next season?
Well, since they're 2-0 right now, I'd give them 50% chance. They're going to BYU. That will not be an easy game up there in Provo. I've called games in Provo. A very difficult place to play. I'm sure the place will be sold out with 67,000 fans or more. But you know what? They're going to give them a vote of confidence. Let's see what happens when they play Notre Dame and UCLA. If they lose those games, then I think my 50% goes down to about 1 or 2%.
Number three.
Now, you touched on this a few minutes ago with Bob Stoops, but the NCAA spoke out earlier today against the proposed legislation in the state of California known as the Fair Pay to Play Act that would allow college athletes an opportunity to earn money. The NCAA claimed it would be harmful, unconstitutional, and would upend the balance of national competition in college sports. Do you agree or disagree with the NCAA's assessment of the impact of this bill being passed?
Boy, Adam, I don't know if we have enough airtime to go all the different directions you need to go on this. You know, one of the things I asked Coach Stoops, you know, about paying athletes, he talked about how they're getting a little bit more in their weekly check. But, you know, you're talking about the Division I level, then you're throwing in the Title IX issue. I mean, there's just a whole can of worms on this. And I think eventually the NCAA will probably win because they're holding the gavel on this one more than the state of California. I don't think athletes should get more than the other athletes in the program. And there's going to be a big differential between football and basketball. The other problem that you're going to face, how about some of these teams that aren't in the top 40, the smaller programs that are New Mexico States that are going out to get big checks and getting their head handed to them on a silver platter? How are they ever going to compete? So to me, it'd be the rich getting richer more than anything else.
Number four.
That team in blue up the road beat the Orioles last night, clinching their seventh consecutive NL West title. Would you take the Dodgers or the field in the National League to make it to the World Series?
I think I'll take the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think they can mix and match, and even though they've had some bullpen struggles this year, namely with their closer Kenley Jansen, Joe Kelly's throwing much better. You can throw a guy like Stripling, who I think it's starting tonight, if I'm not mistaken. You can throw him in the bullpen. He can be a middle reliever. You got Kenta Maeda. They've got plenty of pitch, and once they get to the playoffs, so they're probably only going to go with three starters.
Number five.
According to Radio.com MLB insider Bob Nightingale, the Red Sox could completely overhaul their roster in the coming years in the wake of the firing of team president Dave Dombrowski. Their plan would be to cut payroll significantly by letting J.D. Martinez walk away in free agency should he choose to opt out of his contract this summer, as well as let Mookie Betts walk as a free agent the following summer if they don't trade him first. Does not re-signing J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts make sense to you?
Well, J.D. Martinez is a great player, and I think Fenway Park is perfectly made for him. You know, he didn't have a great first half. He's really got a salary drive going right now, but it's right on him right now. He's the guy that can make the decision whether or not he wants to come back. They could always, you know, buy him out and send him out the door. That'll be interesting because he's become pretty much a one-dimensional player. He's their DH most of the time now. Mookie Betts, on the other hand, he's coming off being the American League Most Valuable Player a year ago. He seems like he just wants to play it out. Now, his agent is Scott Boras. So I got to believe Scott Boras probably wants him to get out there on the free agent market. And, you know, he hasn't had anywhere close to the year he had a year ago. He hadn't had a bad year, but he hasn't had the year they expected from him. So it wouldn't surprise me if he does come back next year, Mookie Betts, if they weren't able to get a deal in place, if they would trade him before the July 31st trade line next year.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes,
indeed. 97.3, The Fan.
You know, Adam, I want to go back to that one question and get your thoughts on the pay the college athletes and what they passed here a couple of days ago in California. See, I have no problem with athletes, especially if it's not necessarily just sports related, if somebody has a talent in some other area, for them to make money. But anytime you bring an agent into it, I got a real red flag on that one.
I think student athletes should have the rights to make money off of their names, images, and likeness. You know, if Cam Newton is a big star, It's, you know, it's kind of like the survival of the fittest. It's supply and demand. It's economics. It's what our country's founded on. If somebody wants to pay Cam Newton to do a commercial while he's at Auburn, he can make the money, and that's how you balance out the stars making money without the 40th guy on the roster getting paid the same amount if you were to pay them, say, a salary. You know, I don't know how they would work around that, but I think it's kind of like the Olympic model, right? Like name, image, and likeness. You could sign autographs. If someone wants Johnny Manziel's autograph, they can pay for it.
And let me ask you this. How about if they had the Adam Klug number 7 jersey in the University of Georgia bookstore, and for every time someone bought the Adam Klug number 7 jersey, a percentage of that sale went into a bank account that you would get once you received your degree from the University of Georgia?
Again, don't have an issue with it.
See, I don't have a problem with that one. I don't have a problem with that one. I got enough of friends that would probably go ahead and buy a few Kantara jerseys.
Let me just update this as well. You said Mookie Betts having a down year. He's 7th in all of baseball in WAR. For position players.
Yeah, it's a down year.
That's a down year for Mookie Betts.
We're going to get to the top there when we come back. My buddy Bob Scanlon going to join me. We kick off hour number 2. Coach John Quintero going to 3 on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.